There's a little book that I have. It was written in 1956. It's a children's devotional. And hopefully as my grandchildren grow up, I'll be able to read that to them when they start understanding that. Catherine Marshall. It's a little book called God Loves You. Amazing book. One of the stories in the book is called The King is Coming. So maybe you'll know why we sang that first hymn, The King is Coming. And it tells the story. It's little devotionals for little ones. It tells the story of the little kids playing in this park. It was surrounded with a wall. And they played there every day. That was their play place. And as they were playing, a messenger came riding through the town on his horse. And the messenger announced, "Get ready, for the king is coming along this way today. Everyone get ready, the king is coming along this way." And the little kids got so excited. "Wow," they said, "maybe we'll be privileged to see the king as well." And then they started looking around this park where they were playing, and they realized, man, it's a bit of a mess, because their toys were all over the place, and it was a little bit of cup there and a plate there. They were playing. So they decided, we can't let the king see it like this. We have to clean this place up. So they got cleaning the place, and it was beautiful. And they decided, but it's still not good enough. And they went out into the field, and they picked some beautiful flowers, and they put the flowers all over in the walls. And they had a little table there, and they put some flowers on the table, and it really looked cool. And the whole day, they waited for the king to come, and they waited for the king to come, and they waited for the king to come. But late afternoon, still nothing. So they were playing, and the next thing, they looked up, and there was an old guy coming in there, and he looked tired and ragged, and he looked over the wall, and he said, "Wow, it's beautiful. Can I come in and sit for a second?" And they said, "Sure, come, we're waiting for the king, come sit." And they had an old barrel that was cut in two, and they put a red cloth over that for the king, and they said, "While he's not here, you can sit there." So it looks like a little throne for the old guy. The old guy sits, and he talks to them. And they really enjoyed this old guy. And the more they spoke, they came closer. And then they started telling him their secrets about the puppies that were born this week. And the nest with the little blue eggs in it. And the bunny that's out there in the field. And then the old man said, "Before I go, do you have a cup of water for me maybe?" And the kids went and they got the cleanest cup they had, and they brought him some water, and he had the water, and he said, "Thank you," and he got up, and before he left, he just put his hand on each one of their little heads, and they felt that there was something that moved in them. And then the old man walked off. And as he walked off, sun was setting, and as he walked, the sun fell on his head, and the kids looked at each other, and he said, "Wow, as he's walking with the sun in his hair, it looks like he's wearing the crown. Maybe he was the king." And when I read the story again, the question I asked myself was this: will I recognize the king when he comes? Will I know sooner than those little kids that the king was in my presence, and that I was talking to the king? Will I recognize him at all when he comes? So the Word has a story about this too. And that's the story that we'll talk about, not about children's stories. That was just the introduction. Matthew 24. And I don't have it wrong, Ted. We're going to read 25. Matthew 24 talks about the end times. And Jesus walks out and he talks about the disciples show him the temple. They say, "Look at those beautiful stones." And he says, "Yeah, not one of them will be left on the other." And then they were talking about the coming of the Lord again. And they asked when. And then he said to them in verse 36, "But the hour and the day no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And then in verse 42, he says to them, "Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." And then he tells them our story of this morning, Matthew 25. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so it's going to sound a little different. And the reason I do this, I didn't want to do the explanation, but let me do the explanation in any case. New Living, the NIV translates the word parthenos in Greek, translates that with virgin, which is one of the words to translate the word parthenos with. In this context, it's not talking about virgins, it's talking about bridesmaids, and the NLT does the right translation, calls it a bridesmaid. You know that a word doesn't have meaning, right? It receives its meaning within the context that it's used. So that's why I'm reading the NLT. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil, olive oil for their lamps. But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." And all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. And then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Weddings are beautiful, and we have quite a few of those going on during the summer, and it's always a lot of fun. You don't know what happens ahead of time. Ask Peter Gowdy when he was still the wedding coordinator. We have bridezillas too. That happens often too, but it's always, we just see the pretty part where the bride comes in and she's all dressed in white and music plays and the old groom's standing here and he can't keep his eyes dry. They're all kind of weepy and mom and dad are so happy and it's beautiful and we have a beautiful ceremony and they go out and we play and it's all cool. Weddings were a little different in the time of Jesus. Now here's the interesting thing. We don't have exact information about how the weddings worked. They even differed from town to town. So what I'm going to give you is a little bit of an outline of the basics of how it worked. That works well with our text here this morning. So wedding feasts could last a day or sometimes 2 days. And as you see this guy, it was midnight already when the groom came out and then they started the feast. So they've been going for a whole day. So they start early in the morning. Festivities start and they have games for the kids and they have food and they have fun and they dance and they do all kinds. There's no bride, there's no groom, it's just all the guests. And the guests arrive and the guests arrive and the guests arrive and they fill the place. A little later in the afternoon, kind of at dusk, the bride would be accompanied. This was the first task of the bridesmaids in those days. The bridesmaids would accompany the bride from her mother and father's house to the groom's house, where usually these festivities would be going on. They would have the party and the whole ceremony there. By then, the groom had to leave. He's not allowed to see the bride. So the bridesmaids take the bride to the festivities, and there she waits for the groom to come. The groom goes with his groomsmen to the house now of the bridesmaid, of her mom and dad. There he sits down with mother and father to negotiate what the wedding gift would be to them, but also as a dowry to her and how he would take care of her. This would often take quite a while because they were negotiating. Some of us who come from Africa would know about lobola. Same thing. They would negotiate back and forth, back and forth. And if it took a long time, it usually was a good sign. It meant that the parents were not just selling her off for nothing. Well, selling her off. We're not just giving her away for nothing. They wanted her to be taken care of because the negotiation wasn't just for them. It was for her. So she would be taken well care of. So it seems after that, when it was done, The bridesmaids would have come back in the meantime and wait halfway for the groom between the mother and father's house and between his house. The groomsmen would come and would say to them, get ready, the groom is coming. They would have their little lamps because usually it would be dark. And they would bring light for this groom and they would dance around him and be merry and bring him to the house. They would go in and then the doors would be closed. If you're late, you're late. The doors are closed, no more guests allowed. And then the whole ceremony would start and they would feast until everything was done. It seems this story, the negotiations went a little really late. Midnight. The bridesmaids fell asleep. Then comes the groomsmen saying, he's coming. And five wake up and realize, oh, holy moly, our lamps went out. We didn't bring enough oil. The other said, well, we're okay, we got oil. They go, give us a... No, we can't. Go buy your own at the shop. They go by. The groom comes. They were not there. They were not ready. Groom is in. The doors are locked. No one else is allowed into the feast because there is a time when the doors will be closed and you will not be allowed in. And then those harsh words, but that's the words on which we're going to concentrate this morning because they actually tell us the story. Verse 12. Lord, Lord, open the door for us. Verse 12. But he called back. Truly I say to you, or believe me, I don't know you. It's kind of a sad story, isn't it? Because the story says, when you look at the 10, it can be the church. It can be all the believers. You can be part of all of this. But if you are not ready, and if you do not prepare, and if you are not there when the king comes, you might come to the door. And the door can be closed because you didn't have enough oil in your lamp. The question is, do I have oil in my lamp? Do I have enough oil in my lamp? And you're saying, what do you mean, Aubrey? Because it doesn't even say that in the text. What's this oil thing? And here's the thing. It's an interesting question. And so many answers have been given. And I'm going to give you one of the answers, which I think. We're going to try and find the Bible to tell us itself. Let me give you a few of the strange ones. Augustine, or Saint Augustine, whatever you want to call him. I don't like calling people saints because we struggle to be those. We struggle too much. Saint Augustine wrote, and he said, according to him, the oil was faith, hope, and love. Well, you could put anything in there if you do it that way. There were others who said, no, oil is the missionary work we do and our prayers. Sounds good too. Then came the Reformation, and forgive me for this, I'm just telling you what they said in those days. The Reformation came, and the Protestant church said the five wise bridesmaids was the Protestant church, and the five foolish bridesmaids were the poor old Catholic church. The Catholics said, no, we're the five wise, you're the five foolish. So you see how easy it is to just read anything into this. But it still seems that the crux of the story today is this. The king is coming. And we know who the king is. The king says, you better watch, 24. I'm going to come. Even I don't know. The father knows. You need to be ready. And then he tells the story. How do you need to be ready? You need to be wide awake and your lamps need to be filled with oil. And still, what does that mean? Let the scripture try and explain the scripture. You know my old Latin saying, Sacra scriptura sui ipsius interpres. The Holy Scripture needs to interpret itself. It comes back to verse 12. And they stand at the door and they're banging on the door and they're saying, Lord, Lord, open. And he says to them, truly I say to you, I don't know you. Does it ring a bell? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and further. In those days, says the Lord Jesus, There will be many who will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? And did we not drive out demons in your name? And did we not heal people in your name? And I will say to them, go away from me, you who do not keep the law. The word in Greek is anomia. A means not and nomos means law. Go away from me, those of you who do not do the law of my Father. For not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of my Father. But those who do the will of my Father. Is there a little light coming on about the oil? Well, let me help you if it doesn't come on. Go to chapter 25. And we just go a little further. When you go down to verse 31, the Lord Jesus speaks about this too. So it says, when the king comes, the Lord Jesus sits on the throne, and everyone will be gathered before him. And then he will separate them, the goats and the sheep. And those on the right hand he calls his sheep, and those on the left hand he calls the goats. And then he will talk to the sheep and he will say to them, welcome. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. And I was sick and I was in jail. And you cared for me and you came to visit me. And they will say, Lord, when would you do that? And he said, when you did that to the least of mine. And then he will say to those on his left side, go away from me, you evildoers, who do not do the law of my Father, for I do not know you. For I was hungry and you did not give me to eat. And I was thirsty and you did not give me to drink. And I was naked and you did not give me clothes. And I was a stranger and you did not invite me into your house. And I was in jail and I was sick and you did not visit me. I don't know you. Does the oil make a little sense to you now? The king is coming. Make sure that there is oil in your lamp. Somehow it seems that the oil speaks of this beautiful thing that Jesus says. You want me to tell you which one of the 623 laws that you have written from the Old Testament is the most important? There's one. It has two little legs. You need to love the Lord with everything in you because he gives it all. But you can't say that if you cannot do the second part. You need to love your neighbor as you love the Lord and as you love yourself. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep that burning, Lord, for the oil, it seems to me, we will see in this part of our lives is when we see daily the unexpected ways in which Jesus the King comes to our lives, also in the image of the neighbors that he brings across my path. And if I do not have oil to give, and if there is no oil to take care, that lamp is empty. And who knows who that stranger is that looked over the wall and said, wow, your playground looks really beautiful. No one knows when I'm coming, but I'm coming. You need to have the oil. Martin Luther said the most beautiful thing about this, and forgive me, he wrote a beautiful sermon on chapter 25, 31 and further, but it's all in German. So I tried to translate for you, just a little piece. So if it's not the greatest translation, sorry. God is everywhere in the world. Christ can be found in the back alleys and at your front door. Don't go to heaven and say, if only I could see our Lord and God, I would serve him in any way possible. If you want to serve me, says the Lord, don't look for me among the angels. I will come into your house and you will see me. hungry and needy. Just open your eyes. If you want to love me, start by loving your neighbor. We seek him where he cannot be found. He descended, listen to this, I love this. He descended from heaven to earth, but we want to ascend from earth to heaven to find him. He's here. He walks this earth. We see the King every day. Just look around. Do we have enough oil? Are we ready for the King when the King comes? For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. And a lamp goes out. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me to drink. And a lamp goes out. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes. And a lamp goes out. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. And a lamp goes out. I was sick and in jail, and you didn't visit me, and a lamp goes out. The King is coming. Do we have enough oil? Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Lord, thank you that you are coming. But thank you that you also have come. Help us to understand this amazing gift of love that you give. A love without boundaries. A love that looks into the eyes of my brother and my sister. And I can see you, Lord. Eyes that can see into the brokenness. And I can give some oil, for you are the oil that comes into my life. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way that every day you can be seen. Thank you that we may be part of your people, and that we are loved by you. Let your love overflow through us into this broken world. That little song, give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning, Lord. Keep it burning until the break of day. For when the King comes, the day will break and we will hear the words, welcome, good and faithful servant. Help us to love your way. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to take up our offering and say thank you to the Lord with that. I forgot at the beginning that Miriam was going to do an announcement, so I'm going to allow her to do that. And happy birthday, Sybil. Sweet 16 today. May God bless you in abundance.
Thank you. Hey everyone. So I am a part of the summer student program here at Central. And as you can see, there are some boards of some of the themes that you're going to see next week when the kids come for our VBS. So if you are still hoping to register, please do that. There was a slide up with Carrie's email. You can email her or in the bulletin, I think, maybe. There might be something in there for you guys. If not, just come talk to me and I'll help you guys out. During our VBS, we are, as a snack, giving cookies out to the kids. And we have kids signing up here in right, left, and center. So we need lots of cookies. If you guys are able to give your services in that way and provide us with some cookies, they can be store-bought or homemade. As long as they're peanut-free, we'll take them up until Sunday. So if that's a way that you guys can help us out, we would really appreciate it. And that's about it. Perfect. Thank you.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the King of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor content. See from his head, his feet, his hands, blood flow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Oh, thorns composed so rich a crown. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die, find that I truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross